Morning, everybody.
Morning.
It's 1 week since we celebrated the resurrection, and we've been living as resurrection people all week, I hope.
Yeah.
Nope, doesn't sound like it. Full of life and joy, yes? Good, keep it going, because we're celebrating good news of God's love and what God did for each one of us. And if you remember last week, we were thinking about fear and great joy and how the two can run alongside each other. And today we're going to think about peace and faith. And you will notice that Nigel probably already knew what I was going to talk about this morning, because the poster outside has got peace all over it. So you're denying it, and that's where God works together. And it's like confirmation of what we need to hear as a congregation. And so we start in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, on the second Sunday of Easter, the light of your love shines on. Your light has come into the world, and neither darkness nor evil nor even death itself can overcome it. And we, like Mary, like the disciples, like doubting Thomas, who have been there with you through Holy Week and the first Easter morning, have been made witnesses to the resurrection story, wondering, bewildered, hoping, rejoicing, and sometimes doubting. It's not always easy to believe with our minds and trust with our hearts. So, loving Christ, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold the work of your redemption. Open our minds and hearts to receive you, Lord, your resurrection glory, your light everlasting. May this time of worship, reflection, and celebration be a worthy response of your love and your sacrifice for us. Amen. And so we sing, Christ triumphant, ever reigning.
Thank you.
Well, if you weren't awake, you are now. It's great, isn't it, to come and to worship, because we've got something worth worshiping for. Let's pray. Words of John Birch. For the gift of faith, which sees beyond the present moment and looks to an eternity, we thank you. For the gift of faith, small as a mustard seed, which has power within its simplicity, we thank you. For the gift of faith given to those who would simply come, hearts open in humility, we thank you. Generous God, we thank you for your presence with us in all our lives. As we gather this morning, we are reminded of the many times that we have doubted and feared. We gather as people on a journey. We believe and we have doubts. We do good and we sin. We are imperfect humans and still loved by God. Love and grace, hope and faith, these are the essence of the one that we call God. We seek forgiveness and grace from the one and from those that we have harmed. And so we pray today, banish our fears with the memory of the resurrection of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Remind us again that through all our troubles, doubts and fears, your power, mercy, and love are with us. Assured of that grace, we are ready to grow again. We yearn for a new way, a new perspective, and a clear path. Though we are full of trust and full of doubt, we are here. Speak to us, God. Continue creating us. Inspire our hearts. Enlighten our minds, guide our actions. Lord of resurrection surprises, open our hearts this day to the presence of Jesus Christ. Erase our excuses for unbelief and exchange them for strong witness to the power of your mercy, grace, and love. Give us courage and challenge us to walk the path of discipleship, knowing that Jesus goes before us, leading and guiding our steps. In his name we pray. Amen. And so we'll say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we're continuing worship as we sing number 162, The Servant King, From Heaven You Came. Thank you. It's good to remind ourselves in song and in word the events leading up to that resurrection morning, and as I say, as we live as resurrection people now. If you remember, over these last weeks, most of Jesus' disciples scattered and hid when he was arrested. We know from the apostles or the writers of the Gospels, only John and some women were present when to see his death and his burial. And when Jesus' tomb is seen empty, there is further confusion. Despite Jesus' predictions and the eyewitnesses' accounts of people like Mary, it seems that the disciples are still resisting the truth. And so our reading this morning is taken from John chapter 20, which is on page 1089. As we think over these next weeks about the resurrection appearances of Jesus, 1089. Starting at verse 19, Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus appears to Thomas. Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And John tells us the purpose of his gospel. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen. When Jesus miraculously appears inside a secured room, his disciples can no longer resist the truth. So we see their perspective changing. We see their lives changing too. Jesus echoes God's act of creation by breathing a partial indwelling of the Holy Spirit on the disciples. Because now we're on our way to Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is unleashed in all his power. As he has done before, Jesus notes their spiritual perspective. It includes the ability to perceive matters of sin and salvation. The disciples are not given the power to directly forgive, only the ability to recognize that which has already been forgiven by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's good to see John adding why he's written his gospel. As I've told you many times, his was written a good 30 years after the other gospel writers. He had longer to think, and he tells us things probably more in minute detail. He likes to focus our attention. But it gives us all great assurance, doesn't it, to read those words that Jesus is the Messiah and all we have to do is accept his salvation. And so as we ponder those words a bit more, we'll sing number 465, Meekness and Majesty. We'll have to have that one more often, won't we, so you can get into the groove. Thanks, Jay. Let's pray. O risen Christ, open us to the power of your resurrection as we hear your word proclaimed anew this day, that we too might rise to the new life in you. Amen. Peace and faith. While Jesus' appearance to Mary is intended to help the reader grasp the truth of the resurrection, as we were thinking about last Sunday, John's account of Jesus' upper room appearances are designed to help us grasp the implications of the resurrection for the future. Not just our future, but for all those, the Christians and believers that will come after us. And it's worth thinking about what John is trying to say to us today. We often use the phrase, seeing is believing. Yes? I saw yesterday a Liverpool win because I believed. But it means when something unlikely is witnessed, the truth of its occurrence or existence can no longer be doubted. But did you know that that's not the full quote? Did you? No, because we just say, don't we? Seeing is believing. 17th century English clergyman Thomas Fuller, there's a lot of Thomases going on today, Thomas. He actually said, seeing is believing, but feeling is the truth. Who knew? Seeing is believing, but feeling is the truth. And it distinguishes between merely our visual perception, which is belief, and the deep experiential, can't say that word, certainty of touch or emotion, which is the truth. Our sight can be easily fooled, can't it? Sometimes we see what we want to see. You know, if something happened this morning and I asked you all for witness statements, none of you would give me the same. You probably wouldn't even know what colour someone was wearing. Our sight can be easily fooled, but experience offers a stronger, more profound sense of reality. And then we take that thought before your heads totally explode, because you're all going... Faith isn't a feeling, it's a choice. It's our choice to trust God even when the road ahead seems uncertain. It allows believers to maintain trust even during emotional lows and uncertain circumstances. True faith relies on God's unchanging nature rather than our fickle emotions. We've often said that it's easier to believe, it's easier to have faith, it's easier to trust when everything's going fine. It's a lot harder, isn't it, when things aren't going quite as well. And so, if you remember from last week, the disciples are holed up in an upper room, still going through the emotions of the events that they have witnessed leading up to that first Easter morning. There was emotion, if you think back to that Maundy Thursday when those closest to Jesus were gathered with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. There was anger. Anger at the betrayal even of by one of their own. In Peter's case, there was denial. And I'm sure that the added guilt that that had brought with it since that occasion. And I'm sure there must have been agony to see the one that they'd loved, the one they'd followed for 3 years, the one that they called their rabbi. They must have been in pure agony to see the events of that Good Friday. And now, on the third day, stories from the women who went to visit the tomb, that the tomb was empty and Jesus was raised from the dead. Have you ever sat down and tried to go through that and work out what emotions the disciples, you know that phrase, it's an emotional roller coaster. You can just see it, can't you? Just reading through that. It's like going like that. We imagine that whirl of emotions those disciples must have been feeling when Jesus came and stood among them that evening. They felt joy naturally, but also sadness because of what Jesus had to go through. And confusion, I would say, over what resurrection actually meant. And fear, because we read and we know that they were very afraid. And guilt over abandoning Jesus in his hour of need. And we read in response to all of that joy and sadness and confusion and fear and guilt, Jesus simply says, peace be with you. It's like the full impact of the word greetings last week when he met the women on the road. What Jesus did on that first Easter evening was to show those frightened disciples the same grace and mercy and forgiveness and love that he's always showed them. He stood among them and simply said, "Peace be with you." And then, to ease their doubts further, he showed them his hands and sighed. No wonder the disciples rejoiced to see him. Not only was Jesus alive and among them, he'd also forgiven them for all that they had done and not done over those last dramatic days. We often read today's gospel reading and focus on Thomas, who is labelled the doubting disciple, who needed to put his finger in the marks of the nails before he would believe. But I think the story is about all of those fear-filled disciples, trembling behind those locked doors, wondering what it all means. I think the story is about each and every one of us trying to live a life worthy of our Lord and Saviour, struggling with doubt, weighed down with fear, and constantly falling short of what he knows, what we know he expects from each one of us. And this story is about how Jesus comes to us in the midst of our doubts and our fears and our sin and our guilt to offer each and every one of us simple words of grace and mercy and forgiveness. Peace be with you. Like Easter Sunday, Jesus meets us whilst we journey, not just when we arrive. Today's reading is really about the peace which surpasses all understanding, the peace which the world cannot give, the peace that can only come from our crucified and risen Lord, and the peace that comes when we need it most. I was reading an article in The Week about God knowing I'm tired, and I'm sure some of you too. Trying to hold everything together, carrying responsibility, praying and wondering when things will move, when things will change. God knows we are trying. He sees our quiet obedience, the small choices to do what is right when it's actually easier sometimes just to give up. God sees the efforts of our hearts. Perhaps we can all think of a time in our lives when we feel as though we have truly disappointed God. And now imagine Jesus showing up at that very moment and saying to each one of us, "Peace be with you." I, for one, am enjoying the invitation to be still and know, as God says, that I am God. This is what our Lord does for each and every one of us. That is what the miracle of Easter means for us. But today's passage is also about the ways in which we are called to share that peace and that joy with a world that is so filled with doubt and fear. Jesus did not join his disciples in the upper room simply to celebrate his resurrection with them. He also joined them to give them the gift of the Holy Spirit and to send them to a world to continue his mission. He said, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Those words to the disciples and echoed to us over the centuries. By his words and his example, Jesus has taught them about the kingdom of God and about our Heavenly Father's purpose for them and for the world. Now, those disciples are becoming apostles. Disciples are people who learn from someone. Apostles are people who are sent out. And he sends us out in the world in the same way. That is our commission as Easter people. We have a mission that comes straight from our crucified and risen Messiah. Praise God, Jesus just doesn't tell us to do it. He helps us to do it. That is the miracle of the resurrection. After those words to the first apostles, Jesus breathed on them, we read, and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." And for anyone who knows anyone who doubts the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in that verse, you see all three working together. So use it when doubters say the Trinity doesn't exist, because there it is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together. It's not enough that Jesus that he conquered death through the great triumph of Easter. Now, hallelujah, he wants to breathe this new life into us. He wants to share that new life with us. And then he wants us to go out and to share that new life with others, to share the new life of the world, as you know, because we're living in it, but not of it, stifled by anxiety and fear. He wants to breathe new life into this world through us. Our world needs it, doesn't it? Yes. Yes, come on. We've got to be resurrection people. I'm having none of this. We are now the body of Christ in the world. We are God's plan to bring new life into a dying world. If your heart's breaking for all that you're seeing on the television or in the news at the moment, just imagine what God's heart is doing. We are the body of Christ until Jesus returns. Our words and our deeds and our hope, our faith, our love, our witness in our daily lives, our acts of love to others, all done in Jesus' name with the help of the Holy Spirit, is how the world will catch a glimpse of our risen Lord. That is what it means to follow Jesus, to be the person that Jesus called us to be. So as we come to the verses about Thomas, they've had the commission, so they go and do it, yes? Is that what we've just read? They ran out and they shared the joy with the world. Is that what we just read? No. Not exactly. Not immediately. We read that 8 days later, the following Sunday, we find those disciples back in the upper room, locked in again. But Thomas is there this time. The door, as I said, is locked. So has anything actually changed? Jesus appears again, and instead of being upset or telling them to get on with it, which I think would have been our initial response, he says, "Peace be with you." And then he turns to Thomas, who, as I said, wasn't there a week ago when Jesus first appeared. We wonder, perhaps he was brave enough to go out and get food for the others. We really don't know why he wasn't there. But when the others told Thomas they had seen the Lord, we know his response. And again, Jesus shows patience and forgiveness and mercy. And he says to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Seeing is believing. Believing what we cannot see is hard. And all of us, I think, are skeptics to some degree, some more than others. But there's often more going on inside a skeptic's mind than meets the eye. And as Thomas's experience illustrates, Jesus knows how to reach even the biggest skeptic. What patience Jesus has, not only with Thomas, but with all the disciples. What patience he has with us. So So we need to keep confidently and humbly following Jesus and trust his timing. He knows best how and when to reveal himself to each and every one of us. Faith seeing in this age results in more joy than eye seeing. That's the blessed kind of seeing that enables us, as Paul writes, to walk by faith and not by sight. That's why Peter writes in his letters later on, Thomas's fellow eyewitnesses, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Repeatedly, in the midst of our doubts and fears, and in the midst of our sins and our failings, our crucified and risen Lord and Saviour comes to us and says, "Peace be with you." Continuously comes to us and says, "Do not doubt, but believe." Continually, Jesus forgives us, breathes new life into us, and offers us the gift of new life in Christ and the promise of his Holy Spirit. And again, our risen Lord reminds us of our mission to go and to share the peace and the joy and the hope of this new life with our world that struggles to find peace and joy and hope. The risen Jesus came to us to give us peace, to give us new life, to forgive our sin, and to gently remind us not to doubt, but to believe. And persistently, he invites us to go in peace, to serve our risen Lord. And we say, thanks be to God. Amen. And so we pray. Dear Jesus, help us to trust you when life doesn't make sense. Please take our doubt and replace it with fresh faith in you. The risen Christ opens the door for us to have fullness of life. Father God, teach us to act on what we do know about you and your goodness, and trust you in faith for what we don't know. Real doubt searches for the light. Unbelief is content with the darkness. May we continue to ask questions so that you will continue to bless us. As we think of the reading that we've heard, Jesus in the upper room with his disciples, he calls us to draw close and to examine his wounded hands and feet so that we would know the depth of love that he has for us. Heavenly Father, as Jesus entered the locked room to show his disciples the beginning of a new world, so enter our hearts and move us to faith in Jesus as the risen one. Convince us of the reality and significance of the resurrection and free us from all fears and phobias. Give us courage in the face of death, knowing that this is the gateway to new resurrected life for those who trust in Christ. Lord, as we pray for others, I pray, Lord, that you would be with your church throughout the world so that its preaching and works of love may continue to testify to our Lord's resurrection. Lord, wherever your church is faithless and lacking in courage to do your work that Jesus has given, I pray that you would visit and build it up with your Holy Spirit. I pray with all those that will preach your word this morning that we would all listen well and speak with the authority of Christ. Lord, I pray that you would bring peace to all parts of the earth. Wherever nations are at war and people are divided, visit and bring true reconciliation. Lord, we pray for those places in our own minds, Lord, as we've seen the pictures over the weeks. Lord, we pray for the peacemakers. We pray for the discussions that are being held. Bring peace, Lord, we ask. Especially protect all those believers in those nations and help them to influence their country for the good of all. Heavenly Father, visit and comfort the sick and the suffering. Heal and strengthen weak bodies. Calm and correct confused minds. Lord, each of us has people in our own hearts that we hold dearly in prayer. I pray that you would support them all with your great love and mercy. Heavenly Father, we bring our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is risen from the dead and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. It's time to let rip again as we sing number 33. And can it be?
Thank you.
I hope that's your earworm for the rest of the day. Let's pray. Risen, glorious Lord Jesus, thank you that as you stood with your confused, perplexed disciples on that Easter Sunday evening, so you stand with us now. You send us now. You equip us with your Holy Spirit now. May we take our commission seriously to go in your power and to pass on the good news and all that it means in our lives and for the lives of everybody. Amen.